Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Change Leaders Exclusive. I'm your host, James Dallas. The topic of today's show is bridging the gap between millennials and maximals. Before we introduce our guest, let's first define who millennials are and who maximals are. Millennials, as most of you all know, are people that are born between 1981 and 1997, so between the ages of 18 and 35. Maximals, everybody that was born before 1981. I actually created that term because there are so many categories for people born before 81. You have the Gen Xers, the baby boomers, the silent and the greatest generation. Well, that was just too many categories to put in our marketing material. So I just put them all together like a club sandwich and called them maximals. Okay, so we got the definition. Now to our guests. Representing the millennials, we have Angela Dallas and Will Geisel. The maximals, Bill Geisel and me, your host, James Dallas. Okay, before we have you hear from them, here's how you can contact us. At H. James Dallas, Facebook, Twitter, and also LinkedIn, hashtag Change Master. Now, to our guests. Angela, please introduce yourself.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Angela Dallas. I work in brand marketing at AGCO Corporation. We are a farming equipment manufacturer based in Duluth, Georgia. I've been there about 6 months, and I manage all of our web content, literature, and dealer advertising for four of our brands, including Massey Ferguson, Heston, Fendt, and Challenger.
Thank you, Angela, for joining us today. Will.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Will Geisel. I'm from Buffalo, New York, and work at a local technology company for live events called Experience, or expapp.com. I'm responsible for the product design at this company, and so that basically puts me in charge of designing the application that people use on their cell phones to have more fun at various live events.
Thank you, Will, for joining us. And Bill, representing the Maximals.
Good morning, James. Bill Geisel here. I'm the CEO of Rich Products Corporation, which is a global frozen food business. It's been around for about 70 years. I've been with the company for 34 years and have been the president for the last 20 and the CEO for about the last 12.
Thank you. Thank you both, Bill and Will, for joining us today. Now, let's move into the questions. First, with Will and then Angela. You're millennials. What do you look for in a boss? And also a job. Job, then boss.
That's an interesting question because I think I only started working a full-time job a few years ago, so I didn't necessarily know what I was looking for. I was looking for any job and very quickly developed an opinion of what type of job I wanted. Out of a job I think most people want today is kind of the freedom to explore and learn rapidly and kind of pursue your own interests while also having a clear definition of how everything that you do aligns with what the business is trying to do strategically. So, two words that kind of come to mind to me are, I want to know how my work makes an immediate impact and makes a lasting impact. And when you kind of think about those words together, it's a little bit odd because they're almost a paradox to make something that immediately impacts the company and you can see the results, but that also contributes to this lasting effort that the company is trying to make to achieve these long-term goals. So I think those are what I look for out of a job. And as far as a boss, I may have a specific interest, but as a boss, I look mostly for someone to mentor me on all aspects of my life. And so it's not necessarily someone that I only look up to in a certain field, but to me personally, I'd love someone that, you really can look up to in most different aspects. And then I think toughness is really the one quality that I admire the most, someone that's really willing to stick up for what they believe to be best for not only us, but for the company as a whole, and is willing to kind of fight for that in certain aspects. I'd say the last thing that I've really picked up in my last few years that I like a lot out of a boss is someone that has strong opinions. You know, I think you need someone that has strong opinions and really believes in certain things. But what I hear a lot is strong opinions loosely held. So they're willing to kind of see the other side of the perspective and fuse whatever they believe with what someone else believes in to, again, arrive at the best possible outcome.
Excellent. Angela, what do you look for in a job and boss?
I agree with Will on a lot of his points, specifically related to what I look for in a job. There are a few things. One major that Will touched on is being a huge impact in my role. So I like to make sure that I'm a valuable asset to my team, to the company, and just overall that to know what I'm doing will be making a difference on a project or to someone. Also, what I look for in a job is to be able to apply my skill set and my strengths. My other thing that I look for in a job is to have the opportunity to learn and grow in my role and in the company, similar to what Will said, and just continue to work towards what my goals are. And I would say lastly, which is very important to me, is to have a great team. It makes a huge difference working with a group of people who are knowledgeable, supportive, and have similar interests, but yet different skill sets, and we can all work together to accomplish an important goal for the company. And a boss, I agree with Will in several points as well. One of the things I look for in a boss is someone who is very knowledgeable, somebody that I can learn from. Being a millennial, I've only been working for a few years, so it's important to me to work for somebody who is knowledgeable so I can soak up as much as possible while working. In addition to that, I look for a boss that is confident so that, one, I can trust them in whatever direction they're putting the team in, and also so that they can trust me as well to take whatever assignment is given to me and grow upon that, and also give advice along the way. And the last point I look for in a boss is very similar to what Will said, is that I want a boss that is almost like a mentor that will really be there to help with my growth and development as an employee. I know that I'm in charge of my overall career, but it's great to work for somebody that you know is truly invested in what you want in your career and at the company, so that they can align you with certain projects or training that will help lead to accomplishing those goals.
Well, I know from both, talking with both you, Angela, and also with Will, that you all really like the job you're doing now and the boss that you're working for. And I can hear it in your voice as you talk about it. Bill, Mr. Maximal.
Yes, James.
Okay. What are you looking for in an employee? Because I know, Bill, one of the things that really impressed me about you is how focused you are on employee development and overall talent management. So what do you look for?
Well, I think there's a good reason for that, in that, you know, as the leader of this business, I really, really believe that the only sustainable advantage that we have as a company is through our people and through organizational excellence. So people are the most important part. That seems like a cliche, but it really is true. And you have to behave as if that's the case. So in our case, obviously, in the people that work for Rich's, we certainly are looking for competency, and that's a given. Anyone who's coming into a role needs to have certain competencies, functional competencies, to be able to perform well and to learn to develop those competencies. But more than that, what we really focus on is the notion of engagement. And to us, engagement is as much of a science as it is a soft skill. And we're focusing on three elements that are the definition of engagement for us. And we call those say, stay, and strive. The three indicators being whether our people are saying really good things about their experience at Rich's, whether they are intending to stay there and not looking to move elsewhere, and whether they're really striving to make the organization as successful as possible. And to be able to gauge that, we do regular surveys and then focus groups in response to those surveys that help us to understand what things in our environment are either inhibiting or promoting those engagement characteristics. And our leaders are evaluated based on their ability to create an environment that promotes engagement. So is something that's very real and very tangible for leadership evaluation and very real in terms of the metrics of our company.
I really like that. Stay and stride. That is very powerful. And I'm hearing common themes, Bill, between what you're saying and also what I heard from Angela and Will. They want to be engaged. They want to have an impact that's not only immediate, but also one that's lasting. And they want to learn. And the reason why we had this topic today is that there have been so many articles focusing on what is different between millennials and maximals. What I wanted to do today is talk about how we bridge that gap and focus in on how we work more together, more powerfully, and more impactfully. So continuing on that theme, Bill, what is the best part you like about working with millennials?
You know, I think that, you know, first of all, I have a hard time drawing a really hard distinction between the different groups. But putting that aside for now, I think that what we're seeing in younger people in our organization is a level of confidence that is really encouraging and very, very engaging for me to see young people with confidence who want to make a difference, who want to be proactive, and who don't hold back. They're not overly deferential based on tenure or title. They've got opinions, and they want to have input, and they want to add value. And I think in some of the, you know, in some of the modern day, you know, hallways and byways, people are interpreting that as being somehow entitled. And I don't really agree with that. I think it's a very healthy level of confidence and assertion that younger people are bringing a different perspective and a different set of skills to the conversation. And I think it's a wonderful development that is really an important contributor to the evolution of our culture as a company to create more of a debate, to create more involvement, more of a sense of everyone can make a difference regardless of how long you've been with the organization.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. In fact, the word you use, entitlement, that's a word that's been used a lot in describing millennials. And I think it's the wrong word to use, because similar to you, Bill, I don't think they're saying pay me without doing the work, promote me without me having the competency to do the job. They're basically saying, let me do the job, engage me, teach me, and then let the fruits of my labor speak for me.
Yeah, James, I think that makes a lot of sense. If I was reflecting back to question one, what do I want out of a job or a boss? I think, you know, the sense of having a leash or a long leash is really interesting in that, you know, if your boss believes in you, then they'll let you kind of go out on your own and give it a shot, you know, whatever the project may be, as long as it's not detrimental to the business if you make a mistake or there's some sort of bad consequence. I think that sort of belief in an employee below you, if your boss really believes in you, and especially if it's someone that you look up to in different ways, and then they give you that vote of confidence, I think that sort of relationship is one that leads to the best sort of results for not only the young employee, but for the business as a whole.
And when it comes to the business as a whole, you have the young working with the forever young. And Angela, when it comes to working with the forever young, maximals or however we describe it, what's the best part of working with us?
I'd say one of the best parts is that you all say Twitter instead of Twitter, like James just did a few minutes ago. But jokes aside, I think there's two key things that I love about working with maximals or the forever youngs. The first being their knowledge, like we touched on earlier. There's just so much information that you can soak up from them, whether it's company information, culture information, information about different personalities in the organization. They're just able to provide you with a lot of tips and guidance along the way. So I really love that they have so much experience in the workplace. The second thing that I love about working with the Forever Youngs is that because they have a lot of work experience and just life experiences in general, I feel that they're very confident and relaxed, which is great in a work environment. Sometimes we get a little worked up, I would say the millennials, because sometimes we are experiencing stuff for the first time. So it's great to have people around you that are very confident and relaxed and can give you tips and suggestions on it, different things, and let you know that at the end of the day, these are normal situations. They will happen a lot in our career. And yes, that is what I love best about working with Maximals.
Okay. So you can see that it's a relationship that's mutually beneficial. What are some of the misconceptions? We talked about entitlement. What are some of the other misconceptions about millennials that just kind of irk you? Other than, you know, me saying Twitter when it should be, what's the right way of saying it? Twitter
it's
is Twitter, the right
correct.
Way? All right,
yep.
Then. Okay, good. So what are some of the misconceptions, Will?
I think there's an endless list of misconceptions. But the problem is that when you, like Bill said a moment ago, when you try to generalize a giant group, there's always going to be misconceptions. So if you say millennials are entitled, that's a misconception because not all of them are. And, you know, it's tough to, aside from the chronological label, really ascribe that to a certain set of people. So I think, you know, calling a group of millennials entitled may be accurate in a lot of cases. There's a lot of people that aren't willing to do the work or aren't interested in kind of the long-term value of the business. But, you know, to me, the biggest misconception around millennials is that they're all the same, that you can easily group them and bucket them and kind of pick a few adjectives to label them by and describe them with. I think the workplace, at least that I've been in, has been really complex, and it's been interesting to see how kind of the millennials and the maximals intersect and are similar in a lot of ways. So, you know, I think the biggest misconception, like I said, is that they're all the same.
I'm going to come back to that because that's a very important point there. Bill, what are some of the misconceptions with maximals that just get on your nerves?
Given that it's such a large class of people that as you defined it, it's a very difficult question to answer. But I think there's one common theme that I see that cuts across all of these different age groups or generations, and that is that by and large, people have the same levels of ambitions and aspirations. And right now, perhaps with younger people, they're more likely to declare them and to want to talk about their aspirations and ambitions. And the older generations may feel that it's not quite as appropriate to be as outspoken about some of those things, and that they've been taught somewhere along the line in our upbringing that we have to wait our turn and that we have to be good little soldiers and sit and wait for our turn to come, and then we'll have our opportunity. But beneath that, I truly believe that when you scratch the surface a little bit, you find that, and you engage people in these career conversations, and you invite them to be more revealing about their personal goals and aspirations, that they have just as much passion for what they do and where they want to go in life as the millennials do. And so I don't see them as a bit of that that classic cubicle worker who is, you know, sitting there just trying to chew through 8 hours a day waiting for the next paycheck. I think that that's very much a misnomer and a misconception. I think these people really are excited and passionate about what they do.
I also agree in that the maximals are embracing this whole concept of being a lifelong learner. In fact, now that I'm retired, I get to go to the malls at times in which I normally didn't. And I was walking through perimeter, and I walked passed by the Apple store. And to my surprise, it was filled with people 60 and above taking training on the Mac. So you have the forever youngs embracing technology. And I was also reading the largest growing segment of Facebook, and the most active users of Facebook are people 40, 50, and 60, 70 years plus. And to that point, I have a very good friend who was telling me a story about, and we had lunch, And I could tell she was somewhat perplexed. And she said, James, I had just gotten a call from my father. And he was admonishing me because he posted something on Facebook the other day and she hadn't liked it within 48 hours. So he was wondering what was going on with her. So this whole lifelong learning applies to both maximals and also millennials. Now, given that there are misconceptions out there, what do you think that can be done to get rid of those misconceptions so that we all work together better in the workforce and also in society? Will, let me hear your thoughts.
To me, you know, clarity between the whole company is the biggest thing that can kind of help everyone work effectively together. You know, it's funny because you need structure to be successful in any business setting for the most part, unless it's a really small company of just a few. But, you know, you'll see a lot of millennials or young companies that are made up mostly of millennials that focus on flexibility, and you can work wherever you are, whenever you want, wear whatever you want, say whatever you want, that sort of thing. And I think that's really powerful. But to me, you know, you still need a little bit of structure. So if it was up to me, I would kind of come up with a company that had a very explicitly stated structure, but I would make it very bare bones and very clear. So if the structure is going to be, you know, we're honest with each other, everyone is kind of, it's a radical candor environment where you can say whatever you want, but there has to be respect in the workplace as well. I think those would be the key things. And aside from that, you kind of let people be themselves, work how they want to work. And, you know, there's a great discussion in the New York Times from March about this company called Mike, which is a, you know, 100 plus employee company that's made up strictly of millennials. And the article talks about this issue they had where someone lied about a friend who died and actually just took vacation instead of going to the, you know, the fake funeral. And I thought that was really interesting. And one part that stuck out to me a lot is that they said they have a two-strike policy. And I think that's critical. It's if you make your structure and your organization and your expectations extremely clear, you give yourself the ability to have a two-strike policy. It's, you know, you either get it or you don't get it and you get out. So to me, that's kind of the, I think the more clear the structure and the expectations can be, the more effectively everyone can work together.
Angela.
I think in order to have millennials and maximals work together great in the future, we need to continue to have open communication. That way we can dispel a lot of the negative stereotypes that are out there and really truly see that we all are great in the organization. We all bring different skill sets to the organization. And if we just continue to discuss the different skill sets we have or showcase the different skill sets we have, we'll all be able to work together to maybe use the different skills that somebody else has to combine with ours and to make it a great team. For example, if somebody's better at technology, a millennial is better at technology on a project, they can assist on the technological aspect. And there's a maximal on the team that's better with people skills or has better overall work experience on a project. They can work on that aspect of the project, and they both just combine together so that they are able to contribute to the greater good of the project and succeed.
Bill, let's hear your thoughts.
I think from a broader standpoint, what I think needs to happen is really to drive more transparency and communication across the organization. I know that my own conversations with the newer, younger people in our company, what they value most is openness. They want to have a sense of what's going on. It's not just about what my job is all about, but, you know, what's the company doing and how are we doing and where are we going and how what's affecting us positively or negatively and how can we do a better job to achieve our overall goals. And that ability to access information, to be well-informed, to me is a really important binding effect for everyone in the company, if everyone has that same foundation of knowledge and information. And then beyond that, it's always, you know, it's a challenging goal, but anything that we can do that creates more of a shared purpose for the organization so that everyone across the organization feels like they're part of one entity that's pursuing important work, that we're contributing to an important mission. And that that collective feeling of teamwork, I think, has a very strong impact on the effect of collaboration across generations.
Bill, can you talk about what you're doing within Rich Products to make that happen?
Well, Rich is, you know, I think we pursue a lot of different approaches to this. Some very structural and tactical, you know, such as work policies and things that we're trying to open up different ways of working, being more flexible, more responsive to lifestyles and people's individual preferences for the way they want to work. And that takes a little time to get everyone used to that, but it's progressing really well. In general, James, what we need to do as an organization, being a global company and being a company with we're in 100 countries. We have people speaking dozens of different languages coming from countries which have different native cultures. Our goal is to really knock down silos across the organization in every possible way. And that means across generations, but also across ethnic and cultural groups as well. And so one of the things that we do to accomplish that is to create diverse teams that cut across all of these organizational boundaries, teams that have initiative objectives, that have to come together, work hard together with a collection of different types of people contributing to one outcome. We also are working really hard to promote the movement of people laterally across the organization. Doing those two things creates more of a network effect that helps to bridge the gaps that would otherwise be created by organizational boundaries. And I think another one that comes to mind is certainly a very, very active mentoring program that we have that matches mentors and mentees from different countries and different parts of the organization. That also creates that relationship building, which I think is so critical. The people part and the people relationships are so critical to creating an integrating effect for the overall company and the culture.
Well, Bill, I know firsthand that you walk the talk. You mentioned earlier how a lot of companies and organizations, when they say people are our most important asset, those are just words. But I've seen the way you spend your time and I've seen your commitment, and the way I measure the effectiveness of a leader and also the commitment of a leader is based on how that person spends his or her time. And I know that you spend your time focusing in on people and also their development. In closing today, what would be the number one thing that you are going to do personally to bridge the gap between millennials and maximals?
I think, you know, for me, James, the single most important from a general most important thing from a general standpoint that I need to do is to be accessible. That is not to sit in some, you know, ivory colored corner office suite and come and go, seeing the same people every day. It's a question of having real-time opportunities to engage with people in all different parts of the organization, whether that's in the U.S. or China or elsewhere. And it ranges from people who making our products on plant floors to people who have just joined the organization. I have a sort of informal practice where I try to sit down and meet with all the new people that join our headquarters. And usually within the first few months of them joining, I'll try to have an opportunity to talk to them and then ask them to come back and see me again in 6 months and tell me what their thoughts are about being part of Riches. And it's amazing how much you can learn from people that have a new perspective and can offer a perspective on what we are like when we're so close to it. Sometimes we can lose that really good objectivity. And that accessibility for me is the single most important thing that I can do. We also at Riches have a self-starting affinity group for millennials, a group called Stay Rich, which is a group of young people that have come together to, their mission is to create relationships and to create engagement across that population. with a goal to having as many of them as possible want to stay and make their careers at Rich's. And this is something that they initiated, not us. It wasn't an organizational initiative, but more of a self-starting thing. And they've asked me to be their executive sponsor, which I find to be a fascinating role to play. And it gives me great ability to hear from them and to understand what we're doing that is hindering their interest in being part of Rich Products, but also encouraging their interest. So I think we get a great deal out of that practice.
So being accessible or more accessible, that means you're going to devote more of your time to being out there with people. It's the number one thing, Bill, that you mentioned that you're going to
do. And granted, I don't do it enough as it is. It's still an area that I need to do better at.
Well, you're already a best practice. So thank you for setting the pace there and for raising the bar. Angela, what are you going to do differently or more of?
I would like to continue to work hard and represent myself well in whatever company or situation I'm in to continue to dispel the negative stereotypes against millennials, as well as in organizations. I'd like to facilitate more conversation, whether organically or in a panel setting, between the two groups, millennials and maximals, so that we are able to share ideas and really see what each other are like instead of just going off stereotypes. And that way we can find out the truth and collaborate more.
Will.
I think Angela makes a great point that kind of reminds me of just the sense of leading by example and being yourself. And I think, you know, the more maximals can watch a young millennial just kind of come in and do their thing and find a way to contribute, that sort of approach can really rub off and can become contagious and is a healthy one for the business. And I think another part I focus on and I try to think a lot about and also try to talk about, and we've talked about like clarity and transparency being important, but is the, you know, the intersections across these two groups and then just kind of across the whole business. I think the more and more I find out, I've worked in a few different divisions of the company that I work for today, that, you know, the more you can do that, and it sounds like Rich Products does it too with moving people laterally, but the more you kind of gain these different perspectives and, you know, you encounter new people that have from the millennial group or the maximal group that have different opinions or different approaches. And I think the more, the wider your perspective comes on those groups and their approaches, kind of the more effectively you can work together with this, you know, massive group that we've described.
Outstanding advice, comments from all three of our guests today. And I want to thank Angela, Will, and also Bill for taking the time to be on today's broadcast. As our listeners know, we end each broadcast with the Dallas Diamond. Is wisdom that was formed under pressure. Today's Dallas Diamond goes back to something that Bill said, and you also heard it from Will and Angela. Breaking down the silos, eliminating the generalizations, and those are the two things that as change leaders, you always have to do first when you're building bridges. You have to bring people together. And the way you bring them together is start eliminating the terms that separate them. So from today on, we're eliminating millennials and maximals, and we're creating a new term called we-minals. Yes, we-minals. That's who we are. We are going to work together to make our organizations and this world a better place. What am I going to do personally? I'm going to take more 35 and under out to lunch so I can learn more from them. In fact, I'm recommending to everyone that's 35 and above, start learning more about the lives of people 35 and below. So go out, listen to Drake and Justin Timberlake. And for the 35 and unders, go and listen to Queen and also Bruce Springsteen, and especially Queen, because the theme song of the We Millennials is that Queen hit, We Will Rock You. So until next time, this is James Dallas. Let's be the change.